let me say this. Unconfessed sin is like a rock in your shoe. Get it out. If hidden sin is bringing inner frustration, there's no vacation or doctor that can heal it. Isaiah 59, verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you."
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Anthony Sluzes, and you're listening to Your Place of Grace. Today, we begin a short two-part series entitled, How to Overcome Depression. I know I'm speaking to some of you out there. Human beings suffer depression, some to a greater degree than others. I know I've had my own struggles with it in my life and in my past. You say, a preacher, a minister? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, I have other friends who are ministers, and it seems that those with an anointing for a prophetic type ministry are often plagued by some sort of depression of one kind or another. And I think a lot of it is spiritual in nature. There are many reasons for depression, many clinical reasons that doctors can diagnose. But to me, everything comes down to the root of one's spirituality. And Christians are not immune from depression. They're just not. But God will deliver us. God will heal you, my friend. You know, certainly we all suffer setbacks. Setbacks that motivate us to become depressed. You know, temporary blows that deflate our arrogance. But the depression I'm talking about now, it's not the godly sorrow of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 that says, a godly sorrow that works repentance. No. A lot of times, depression is the sorrow of disobedience on our part that the Bible says works death. See, depression is a thief. It drains your motivation. Your desire to pursue God is gone when you're depressed. Your conversations become negative and sour. You're blinded to current blessings. When you're depressed, your enthusiasm is forced. You're in a daze regarding your future plans. You tend to see thorns instead of roses. So what do you do during depression? Well, there are five steps that we want to go through in this two-part series. Five steps that you can take out of such a state of mind of this depression, this deep, dark funk. You know, there is a way out, loved one. It's a condition of the mind. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So, the Apostle Paul encourages thought control. What do we mean by that? Well, in Philippians 4, 8, read that verse for yourself. But the Apostle Paul encourages thought control where he says, whatsoever things are true, honest, pure, lovely, of good report, think on these things. Praise God. Your depression can be temporary. Our Heavenly Father will give you rest from your sorrow. So in your spare time, also read Isaiah 14, verse 3. Regardless of how dark your circumstances right now, dear one, God's word gives light. You need to understand that depression can come to every one of us. Recognize your feelings as normal, human, and predictable. Your feelings are not unique or unusual. No. Listen, biographies of notable people like Abraham Lincoln and Winston Churchill record periods of great depression by these famously gifted men. According to one survey by the National Institute of Mental Health, at any one time, perhaps one-third of the population is experiencing depression from one degree to another. The Bible fascinates us with such details about the feelings of highs and lows of spirit-filled people. King David sobbed, and he cried out, Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? That's Psalm 42, verse 11. One preacher thought the motel business would be better than the ministry. Jeremiah cried, Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. That's Jeremiah 9:2. Even a prophet of God lost confidence in people. The prophet Micah cried, The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. Do not trust in a friend. That's Micah 7, verses 4 and 5. And then that man of power, Elijah, who outran horses for 30 miles, was fed miracle meals by birds and called down fire on water-soaked sacrifices. He once became so despondent that he asked God to kill him. The Bible says, But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. That's found in 1 Kings 19. Verse 4. And then there's Jonah, the famous graduate of Whale University. He had 120,000 converts in a single crusade. Yet later, he begged God to take his life. He said, Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech you, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. That's Jonah 4, verse 3. Praise God. One preacher once said, and I quote, Depression came when Jonah's personal security was more important than the souls of people. You know, even the rich and wise Solomon confessed that he came to a place that he hated life. Those were his words. He said, Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That's found in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 17. Dear one, please recognize the danger of depression. A nonchalant mother once shocked her pastor when she said, Oh, my teenager stays depressed. I guess it's just a stage he's in. Well, you know, we treat depression much too lightly. Depression can result in broken homes, physical breakdowns, suicides, devastating attempts at suicide, spiritual breakdowns, and countless other sorrows. Then there are broken homes. A depressed mate exaggerates the negative side of his marriage, thinking, maybe I made a mistake in marrying this girl. The parade of home-wrecking thoughts can become endless. You need to nip them in the bud. Stop them right there, in Jesus' name. Then we need to watch out for physical breakdowns. The National Institute of Mental Health has estimated that 125,000 Americans are hospitalized annually with depression. Another 200,000 get aid from psychiatrists. And then there's the tragedy of suicide. Between 50,000 to 70,000 people commit suicide every year. And it's estimated that over 1 million people attempt it. Two broken-hearted parents wrote a minister one day. In their letter, it said, "Our daughter attended church regularly. She appeared to be as happy as any normal 18-year-old. Suddenly, for a few days, she became withdrawn. Last week, we walked into her room and found her dead. She took her own life." Among all the people being treated for depression in hospitals and clinics, nearly 20% are under 18 years old. The suicide rate among 15 to 19-year-olds has doubled over the last decade. In a national survey of people between 18 and 74 years of age, those under 29 showed the highest incidence of depression. Now, by the way, listening parents often mean the difference between life and death for their frustrated teenagers. We need to also beware of spiritual breakdown. Millions of Christians who would not lie or cheat or kill are immobilized, paralyzed by frustrations, and paralyzed in their pursuit of spiritual goals. Now, you need to find the basic cause and scriptural solution to your depressions. Though medical doctors speak of physical cycles of highs and lows, all depression is not necessarily physical. So be honest with yourself, dear one. Honestly face the real cause of your depression. Men are rarely angry or sad for the reasons they think. Pinpoint your cause of stress and take it straight to God. And let me say this. Unconfessed sin is like a rock in your shoe. Get it out. If hidden sin is bringing inner frustration, there's no vacation or doctor that can heal it. Isaiah 59, verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you." And then there's greed for gain. Greed for gain will begin an avalanche of despondency. King Ahab's obsession for Naboth's vineyard affected his entire family. Proverbs 15:27 says, "He that is greedy of gain troubles his own house." And our Lord Jesus knew the danger. In Luke 12:15, Jesus said, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things which he possesses." Let me also add this. Making comparisons is a sure road to frustration. One young pastor lamented one day, "Oh, when I hear a conference speaker share a personal success story, I feel like a lawnmower in a Cadillac showroom. Where is God when I pray?" as another man of God has said many times, and I quote, "Comparing has brought more people unhappiness than they could ever imagine." Also, boy, this one's important because this one affected me big time. Taking criticism personally. Mm-mm. Taking criticism personally can bring depression to the person who forgets that, as the Bible says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction. But he that regards reproof shall be honored. That's Proverbs 13, verse 18. And then there's fault finding. One person noted an inner depression when he indulged in revealing the flaws of others. Proverbs 18, verse 8 tells us the words of a talebearer are as wounds. God brought healing through the word. As Proverbs 21, verse 23 says, "Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles." So, dear one, guard your conversations. I'm telling you, your words can create death or life. And stop fueling the fire through critical conversation with others. No, let the fire go out. There are two ways to make something bigger: through thought and talk. Starve your thoughts and conversation. Then the circumstances usually change. You can take that to the bank. We're going to stop right here and continue next time in part two of how to overcome depression. Father, I thank you for those who are listening today. And I know from my own experience, in the past, even in the recent past, where I've dealt with one degree of depression or another, relatively minor, I must say. But Father God, you are faithful to deliver us from depression, from that dark cloud that seems to hang over us, Lord. Help us to remember, just as your word says, that for as a man thinks in his heart, as he believes in his heart, so is he. Father, help us to take stock of what we are taking into our ears, our eyes, what we are taking into our spirit man, and then what we are releasing through our lips and our tongue. Because truly the power of life and death is in the tongue. So help us to take inventory of what we believe and what we speak. And Lord, help us to get into your word more often and to pray your word out loud, no matter how we feel, whether good or bad. But it's by your holy word that faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Bring healing to those who are listening today. Bring healing to those who are struggling, I pray. And we'll give you all the praise and glory, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hey, I think along these lines, it would be really proper for me to say, I've released two new books in 2020, and I want to talk about just one of them right now. It's called Deliverance Handbook, Getting Free Jesus Way. And I want you to go to Amazon, type in my name, or type in the title of the book, Deliverance Handbook, Getting Free Jesus Way. Go to Amazon.com. Pick it up and pick up a copy for yourself and one for a friend or a loved one who may be struggling with a bondage of some sorts, or an addiction or depression. I believe this book will help you. It's very simple. I mean, it's so simple to understand. I wrote it on purpose for that reason. I wanted it to be simple, and I wanted it to be biblical. So pick up a copy, please. Deliverance Handbook, Getting Free Jesus Way. It will be a blessing to you. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may he always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may he give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, your family, and your home, in your relationships, and may he grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life, in Jesus' powerful name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.